All right, welcome to the Crest Files members. Adam plugging in here on Friday night, the 30th of December 2022, for the Night Watch podcast with Adam, of course. We're just about to tick over into 2023, folks. Unbelievable. Thank you so much to the Crest Files members for your ongoing support. Can't keep the website up, and I cannot continue like this without some support. So really, the Crest Files and the website is pretty much member funded now, and so you guys really help so much as we move into 2023. Absolutely unbelievable. Hope you guys are doing fine. I've been plugging in here, just chatting away on the Night Watch podcast. And we'll be doing some great shows into the new year, of course. Don't think I'll be on tomorrow night, but I'll see how I go. But I've been plugging away here, and obviously, quite a few of the members are busy and doing things and traveling or seeing family. So I hope you're staying safe, and I hope you can come in and hear some of the podcasts and keep active on the website, and also, most importantly, keep supporting me here on the ground in Sydney, Australia, into 2023. Really important. I've got the website hosting coming up next year and all of that, and it's going to be good to have that there indeed. Keep the website up and protected, as we, of course, face 2023. It's really unknown, isn't it? There's so much happening. There's so much to break down. There's so much to look at. And just stay aware, man, and stay on top of this. Really important times, critical times in human history. The most important, unbelievable battle on our hands we have now. Good and evil. A war for the human soul. It is really incredible to be living through this. And it ain't going away, man. We are really dealing with demons here. Anyway, I'll quickly plug over the latest bits and pieces in front of me. Get into the members area if you can on the website. There's a chat room there. Log in there as a guest user and whatever it is, and chat away. Leave some comments. Look at the great articles and info going up in the Crest Files chat. We're over on Telegram as well, and everything's connected to the website now, of course. And just getting some things sorted out here, bits and pieces. Hope you guys are having a good week and a good Christmas time and New Year's, wherever you may be. And stay safe out there, indeed. Get ready for a rocky ride ahead. Got a few points to cover tonight, and probably won't get to all of them because a couple of other things have popped up in the media. Now, we've had a really interesting case here in Australia. This was, you know, just covering the bullet points. And there's bunches of articles coming out, and this came out from the Daily Mail, and there's others. This is to do with a family doctor who was subject to death threats from evil anti-vaxxers during the pandemic. He's died suddenly a night before Christmas. Dr. Wilson Chin, who trained in Britain and immigrated to Australia in 2018, has died suddenly. And keep in mind, everyone's just dying now, and that's okay. According to the media, it's all normal. Everyone's just dropping dead for no reason, and that's okay. You just die now. It's Logan's Run. You know, we're now living in some bizarre science fiction movie where people just drop dead at any time. It just doesn't matter. And no one questions it. And as to why, it's all just part of life now, dropping dead. This is an interesting case because they call him the gentle and kind family doctor, and how he's received threats from evil anti-vaxxers who are now terrorists in this country, he's suddenly died. He's from Hong Kong. His name's Dr. Wilson Chin. And he broke down in tears describing the abuse he received running a COVID vaccination clinic on the Gold Coast that he was in charge of. This is a COVID jab clinic run under his watch. Okay. And what has happened here, if we can get to it, where it started was, and this made it on Nine News and all these outlets, two young girls that he jabbed passed out. And they call it fainting. They passed out. And they're saying that it's unrelated to the vaccine, even though they were completely healthy young teenage girls. And they went in for jabs. And these parents, oh man, these parents are the real terrorists, aren't they? These parents are the real scum that are allowing their little kids to go into here. But anyway, these two healthy, completely healthy young girls went in under his watch and he jabbed them with this poison. And they passed out. Now, I hear reports that one of the girls was screaming when this happened. That they're not just fainting because it's too hot in the office and it's completely unrelated to the jabs. He jabbed them and one of them apparently was screaming and they've fallen down on the ground and could have died. Now, they seem to be covering this case up and the family's being very quiet. Who knows if they've been paid off or paid some money to shut up? I don't know. And I don't know what happened to the children. And the media jumped on it to cover it all over. So, and then basically this has gone out into the channels and communities and that, and people are disgusted with what he did and this abuse, because it's abuse and it's, and it could have been murder. It's definitely attempted murder. But see, this is the thing now in this country. If you have these Chinese doctors who are practicing in Australia and they're jabbing young children with these COVID-19 death shots, and these children vomit and convulse and fall on the ground and they scream or they die, and the community says, well, that's murder, and they get upset about it, the Australian mainstream media label the community evil anti-vaxxers now. See, that's how it is now. So it's perfectly okay to murder young children via these injections, and they flop around on the floor and choke and vomit everywhere and die, you know. And if you in the community are disgusted with that because it's just outright murder, you're an evil anti-vaxxer. And so the other article here from the COVIDblog.com, it's a pretty amazing case happening in Australia now. Dr. Wilson Chin, Australian physician who faced backlash for injecting kids and causing severe adverse reactions. But don't worry, the Australian media tell you they just fainted, like, oh, you know. Like those old movies, the black and white movies, where the lady gets the handkerchief and, oh, you know, and she falls into the arms of the handsome stranger. No, they suffered from severe reactions. One of the girls was screaming and they fell on the floor. But as I said, that's the Australian mainstream media covering it up. Anyway, after causing severe reactions, the community, as you would expect, got upset and lashed out, and they're evil now because they said something. Anyway, this guy has died suddenly. Plus, a second ABC News USA producer dies suddenly as well. This is just from yesterday, or slightly the day before. Gold Coast, Queensland, the COVID blog published an article on February 3rd entitled, "If You Still Trust Mainstream Doctors After Reading These Four Stories, Then May God Help You." One of said stories was about a Hong Kong-born, UK-trained physician named Dr. Wilson Chin. He was a general practitioner at MedCentres Pacific Pines in the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. Dr. Chin administered Pfizer mRNA injections to two girls under the age of 12 on January 17. The country had just authorized the injections for 5 to 11 age group weeks prior, and both girls suffered immediate convulsions in front of their frightened and distraught mothers, who caused all this and should have their kids taken from them. And these fucking parents need to hang for what they're doing. These stupid, ignorant fucking asswipes taking their little daughters in to get this stuff jabbed in their arms. What kind of parents are you? My God, you people are fucking, you're not ignorant. I mean, if you're ignorant with your own health and you're allowing these jabs to go into your body, then so be it. But when you subject your, you allow your kids to be attacked like this, you are fucking disgusting. And you need to hang in my book. I have no mercy for you fucking bastards. You haven't done your research. You're as thick as bricks. You're the scum of the earth, and now you're doing this to your own little kids. Anyway, yeah, the girls, both of them, suffered immediate reactions, including convulsions. Dr. Chin told his pals at the Nine News, Vax Zealot reporter Mackenzie Callahan, this is another ass-licking prostitute stooge, bottom feeder at the bottom of hell, that the girls were absolutely fine and that the incidents had nothing to do with the injections, despite happening within barely minutes of the girls receiving the shots. And the parents, from all accounts, never spoke directly to the mainstream media. So two healthy young girls, age 12, nothing wrong with them, full of life, go into this guy. He injects them within barely a minute. They're convulsing and screaming, and it didn't have anything to do with the jabs. Anyway, a viral Facebook post alleged that the girls died at the clinic, and the COVID blog contacted the person who originally posted the message. He made clear that he did not witness the incident and that his post was a second-hand account from a friend who witnessed it all. We originally included his name in the article, but he asked us to remove it because we don't have a First Amendment here like in the United States. The witness account changed. He now said the original post was inaccurate and that the girls did not die. It's unclear how he could have originally gotten that important detail so wrong. Furthermore, the Australian Health Practitioner Regulatory Agency APRA, criminal front for the pharmaceutical corporations, and the National Health Practitioner Board's criminal front for the pharmaceutical corporations, issued a very stern, threatening joint statement directed at healthcare workers on March the 9th, 21. Not only are all doctors, nurses, etc. required to receive the injections, but they must always paint rosy pictures of the lethal injections. Of course, Big Brother's telling you to stand up like a puppet and paint a nice, rosy, fun picture of death. Any promotion of anti-vaccination statements or health advice which contradicts the best available scientific evidence from our pharmaceutical buddies or seeks to actively undermine the national immunization campaign, including social media, is not supported by national boards and may be in breach of the codes of conduct and subject to investigation and possible regulatory action. Unbelievable, isn't it? We openly support the murder of young children in this country, and if you have anything to say about it, we want to take you over the hot coals. This is a direct reflection of the medical establishment in this country. Health practitioners are reminded that it is an offence under the national law to advertise a regulated health service, including via social media, in a way that is false, misleading or deceptive as they see it. Advertising that includes false, misleading or deceptive claim about COVID-19, including anti-vaccination material, may result in prosecution by APRA. That's A-H-P-R-A. This is APRA. This is a criminal terrorist group who are a front, a body created by big pharmaceutical criminal corporations to terrorize the people in this country, and they're still getting away with mass murder. They're terrorizing everybody in this country. And this is why Mr. Greg Hunt was involved in this as well, in these groups. But he's jumped ship. Thus, there's no way of knowing for sure what happened to the two girls. If the girls did die, it was not in Dr. Chin's best interest to admit it. This whole situation could very well be a Tiffany Dover-like case where government, mainstream media and medical industrial complex covered up the true facts. We don't know, do we? Does anyone actually know about this case and the girls? Did this guy inject two girls and they dropped dead on the floor right in front of him and now they're covering it all up? Or did they just faint and they've gone home and they're happy having lollipops now? The Australian government made clear that it would punish all healthcare providers. Well, it threatened them for telling truth about anti-vaccination material and about the lethal injections about being administrated and the criminality of this. And Australian mainstream media puppets and zealots are more useless than US media puppets. And I said that how many times on this podcast? Because the Australian mainstream media is the worst in the Western world and one of the worst in the world. I'm telling you, it's worse than New Zealand, it's worse than US, it's worse than UK, it's worse than Canada, it's worse than all of Europe, it's worse than anywhere. And I've travelled around. The Australian mainstream media is the worst, most criminal, disgusting media on planet Earth. You cannot even begin to imagine how fucking bad these people are. And how low. And they don't care. They don't care. They get off on it. They enjoy it. And the more disgusting that they are, and the more horrible they are to people, and the worse the lies, and as things just go down and down and down straight to hell, they just get off on it. They can't get enough. They are just so putrid. They are so putrid. Someone has to take them down. They're just. Oh my God. All of them too. All of them. Anyway. So with all this being said, Dr. Chin played the victim role throughout the whole thing, and now, as I said, headline there from the Daily Fail has got Dr. Chin crying. He's got a tissue and he's crying. He's holding his eye about the evil anti-vaxxers, and there's another picture of him. He's doing a thumbs up. Anyway, the family doctor who was subject to death threats from evil anti-vaxxers during the pandemic has died for absolutely no reason, and he's there crying. Oh my goodness me. So he played the victim throughout all this. He cried on mainstream media. He actually cried. That's what I was just talking about there, about the threats and the harassment that he got once the story got out. Fast forward to today, Crystal Fox of the Gold Coast Bulletin reported that Dr. Chin has died suddenly. The report did not provide an exact date, but we're told he died on Christmas Eve and that he was 34 years old. The cause of death was medically related, not mental health related, according to the report. Thus, it was not intentional suicide. The simple explanation here is that Dr. Chin died suddenly and unexpectedly, like millions of others are, from a post-injection heart attack, cardiac arrest, stroke, or ruptured brain aneurysm, brought on by blood clots. But this entire story smells bad. We'll leave it at that. Interesting, isn't it? And another reporter in the US has died. They're dying everywhere. Everywhere you look, they're dropping dead like flies, I tell you. But an interesting story. So here we have in Australia a case where two teenage girls are taken in by their parents to this Chinese guy's office, you know, his practice. He's injected them with COVID shots. Something very bad has happened to these girls. We've heard reports of screaming and that they fell down on the ground, but the media have come straight in and covered it all up, trying to make out like they just fainted, oh, with the tissue and the hanky, and they're at home now recovering, and everything's fine, and they're perfectly fine. And because the community reacted and got angry about the initial story, we're all supposed to feel sorry for Dr. Chin, who injected these girls, and he had such a hard time, and now the doctor himself has dropped dead. Now, is this all made up? Are they just making up stories for the fun of it? I mean, what a crazy world we are living in. Talk about the Twilight Zone, folks. You've got to be kidding me, right? What the hell is going on here? And what happened to the girls? Does anyone know? I guess we won't ever know. But the family, I don't know. It's all been swept under the carpet, I guess. What an absolute strange case. There's a little bit. Here. I was reading about it from Dave O'Nigg's Telegram chat. Yeah, this was just in regards to that story. So it's saying here, this whole thing is a disaster. A lot of people's emotions are at boiling point. The rumor claimed two girls collapsed and began screaming, but Dr. Chin told Nine News at the time the episode was simply a fainting episode unrelated to the jab. So we've got two extremes here. We've got girls being injected with COVID shots, collapsed, screaming and collapsing on the ground. And then we've got the doctor telling Nine News Australia that they just fainted and it was just hot. I didn't have the aircon on. The girls suffered no ill health impacts after fainting. And all of this. So we've got very strange stories here, don't we? And the doctor was supposedly abused. Okay, whatever. And now, as we know, the doctors died. You'll hear the helicopters going over there. Never stops. Military choppers, I don't know what they are. Yeah, so a strange case. What happened here, folks? Does anyone know any more? Let me know. Have a look. Let's have a look at some overseas news from the Tribune, and I put one of these articles up anyway. They're going to lock us down again. Happy New Year 2023. A lot of people don't believe this. I am dragging my feet right now to write just a few words before the year ends. Sincerely, I just do not see how things are going to change substantially anytime soon. These despicable bastards are getting all their plans in their agenda coming together step by step, and there seems to be very little opposition in terms of stopping the bastards in their tracks. My only consolation right now is that all at some point, there goes the choppers again, folks. They might rush things to such a degree that they might start making fatal mistakes for themselves, of course. Maybe I am being a bit naive here, who knows? I understand people with families wishing to have some semblance of a Christmas, actually Yule, celebration. Anyway, families just wanting a normal Christmas without doom and gloom on the table. And the WEF also wants to cancel Christmas to fight climate change. We're actually getting that in Australia through councils and governments and all of this. They wanted to cancel any Christmas celebrations or anyone having fun whatsoever to save the climate. It's happening everywhere. Anyway, this year, as I did back in 21 and previous years, I've just done my winter solstice observance, December 21st to be more specific. As far as I'm concerned, there is nothing more to celebrate. But why all the negativity, Mr. Heimdall? You are just a doomsday worrywart who wants to spoil our little solstice plus end of the year celebration. Please stop it, go away in peace. Even if people here seem to have paid very little attention to this issue, I find myself compelled to talk about it again, just for the sake of closing this dreadful year with an all too relevant topic. The thing in question is the catastrophic contagion simulation, or in other words, Event 201, which was conducted recently by Bill Gates. I assume I do not need to expand on that. This Event 201 back in the late 2019 was all about. I do not wish to bore readers with redundant data. To make a long story short, they are going to lock us down again next year. Catastrophic contagion highlights. Bill Gates Foundation conducts new pandemic simulation December 11th, 2022. There's that date, 11-1-1. And I played that on the podcast the other night as well. If you heard them, they actually have done a severe epidemic respiratory syndrome drill. And the video's there, it's even on YouTube. So here we have the same genocidal scoundrel who recently admitted that clean energy is a WEF Great Reset scam. Again, the same criminal maniac who in the infamous 2010 TED Talk told the public that they could reduce the population of the world to a 10% if they did a good job with vaccines. All this happens while in France, some old evil gargoyle passing as Prime Minister named Elizabeth Borne, who was appointed as Prime Minister. Sorry, a lot of interruptions here tonight. It's really hard. Without having my own space, I can't think correctly. Going back here, he's talking about all this happens while in France some old evil gargoyle passing as Prime Minister named Elizabeth Borne, who was appointed as Prime Minister early this year after President Emmanuel Macron's re-election, has urged the public to once again wear face masks in confined spaces. If you think it's only going to happen there, you're wrong. Talking about gargoyles, crypto-communist WEF stooge Jacinta Ardern is now demanding New Zealand citizens report conspiracy theorists who question government policies as terrorists. Suffice to say, all this goes in connection with the recent PSYOP which happened recently in Queensland, Australia, in which two young cops were allegedly shot by a couple of crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. Obviously, it all was an intelligence operation instead, but I will leave it at that. People should keep their eyes peeled on this event because this is coming to a country near you, most specifically to the United States. Give these people some time. Going back to COVID-1984 land, These bastards have been admitting publicly the truth about the jabbed shedding and spreading the real disease. So the whole thing comes as a disgusting joke. However, it is a disgusting joke. Is anyone surprised at this point about self-contradictory propaganda these sick psychopaths are peddling to the public? Well, there's no shedding and there's no disease. The whole thing is sick. It's just, you know, unbelievable. The World Health Summit, in partnership with the World Health Organization, recently held a 3-day conference featuring 300 speakers and 3,000 participants to examine the Global Response to COVID-19 and Future Pandemic Responses, a member the German West Africa Centre for Parliament Prevention, Pandemic Prevention, GWAC, funded by Germany's Federal Foreign Office, confessed to an undercover rebel news reporter that most of the policy decisions recommended by the World Health Organization, who during the COVID pandemic were not based in science but based on the political ideologies of the globalist elites. Well, we know that. Given that the WHO and the World Economic Forum stated goals for the world coming out of the COVID pandemic are not based on science but total control, the next obvious steps are the vaccine passports and the so-called central bank digital currencies as part of a social credit score system. But there is more. Forever lockdown, rise of the digital surveillance state. And that was Senate speech by Alex Antic. That was a really good video, and it's good to see that it's gone around the world, because he is warning everybody what's coming. Digital IDs on clothing, anyone? Sure, why not? Did I mention that these creatures are most likely planning to restrict the internet to the point in which users will need a compulsory ID to access to get access to it? At the same time, in order to get said ID, people will have to be up to date with their vaccine status, no matter how many more times some people out there are coming out in public speaking about the insanity of forced inoculation, even mainstream politicians themselves once again. Senator Ron Johnson, it's an insane policy to force anyone to take a COVID-19 injection. It's really crazy, isn't it, when you look at all this, this so-called WEF and all these Bill Gates and everything, man. Like, these maniacs, these entities have the power to just crush every single government and country on earth. It's really unbelievable, isn't it? What they say, they can just say something and everybody does it. Nobody has any rights under this system of control. It's planetary. I do not think I need to extend myself any further on how this world is on its way to becoming a gigantic techno-gulag prison in which all reference of a previous civilization in which people were able to travel to different places without their lives being turned into hell will be erased for future generations. That is, if there are any future generations left to remember anything whatsoever. This is going to be a return to feudalism as it was back in the Dark Ages, complete with one world religion. That has been the plan all along, at least for those who are left alive as cyborg slaves in a total anti-human trans-apocalyptic environment created by the likes of Yuval Noah Harari, in which people will own nothing and they will be happy under the Jewish boot. Who wishes to live in such a place? Not me. Hopefully this will be the last post for 22. I do not want to say goodbye to this dreadful year without thanking the great benefactors of civilization. Once more, thanks, Jews. I will see you on the other side. Speaking of Israel, speaking of Israel, probably too big for me to go into from the COVID blog if you have not posted it. It's going back in the months. The article is entitled, Are COVID-19 Injections the Ethno-Bomb Israel Began Developing in the Late 1990s? Tel Aviv, Israel was the first country to start administering fourth, second booster shots at the beginning of 22. Turkey started administering fifth booster shots at that same time. But there is growing evidence that the people of those nations may be less susceptible or even immune to adverse effects from the shots. Well, they didn't get them, right? What we're talking about. Anyway, it talks about the Jews here and everything. I'm just skipping through this article. the ethno bomb reports. The Sunday Times in the UK reports on November 15th, 1998, that Israel was developing a biological weapon that kills Arabs, but is harmless to Ashkenazis. The report citing Western intelligence sources said that Israeli scientists are trying to identify distinctive genes carried by Arabs to create a genetically modified sort of weapon, I guess, their jabs. And the weapon as described in the story sounds like similar to what we're going through now. Talking about changing DNA and everything like that. This is interesting. I was looking at that a long time ago as well, through the US and through Israel. Ethno bombs. I'm just skipping through this because it's too big and I don't want to read anything. And there's virus stuff in here as well. Who developed the COVID-19 jabs? Albert Bourla has been with Pfizer since 1993. He was promoted to chief operating officer in January 2018 before being appointed CEO later that year. Thus, he has been in charge of Pfizer since the so-called pandemic commenced. Bourla frequently speaks about his love of Israel and how his parents survived World War II. In fact, he accepted the Theodore Herzl Award on November 9th, 2021, and the award was created by Herzl's World Zionist Organization and is given to the most influential and important Zionist in the world. In his acceptance speech, Bourla compared November 9, 1938, Kristallnacht to November 9, 2020, when Pfizer announced that their mRNA injections were effective against COVID-19. Take that for what you will. Bourla did not develop the Pfizer mRNA injections, but he handpicked the guys who did. Dr. Mace Rothenberg was promoted to chief medical officer by the new CEO Bourla in January 2019. Rothenberg led the entire development effort for Pfizer's mRNA injections. He quit his job at Pfizer in January 21. As soon as the mRNA shots he developed were deployed on the human race, Rothenberg is a Zionist. Markal Dalston is the company's chief scientific officer and head of research and development. He is a Zionist as well. Zal Zaks, Moderna. Dr. Zal Zaks was appointed chief medical officer of Moderna in March 2015. He was the man in charge of developing the Moderna mRNA injection. Zaks was born in Israel and served in the Israeli military as a medic and ambulance driver. He frequently talks about his Israel heritage, making no bones about where his loyalty lies. Zaks stepped down from the Moderna CMO position last February, around the same time Rothenberg left Pfizer. Zaks is now a board member for Israeli pharmaceutical company Teva. There's also Facebook, YouTube, Google. The three platforms are the primary COVID-19 and vaccine propaganda machines for Jews, and they are owned by Zuckerberg, Sergey Brin, and Larry Page, all Zionist Jews. Smoking gun evidence that Moderna created SARS-CoV-2, I don't think so. I don't buy any of that. These are just the points. We're just talking about Jew involvement in all of this. If you have a look at it, they're involved all the way here with all of this, which is very, very interesting. And I was talking about that on the last podcast, perhaps. No one got anything over in Israel. Maybe this is a specifically designed for the West. Be very sad, wouldn't it? But look at what we're seeing. Look at what we're seeing. All these big pharmaceutical corporations and jab manufacturers and all of this, they're all Zionist Jews who are involved. This is a really interesting one as well. That popped up on social media today. Oh no, it's going back a little bit. Anyway, I don't know if you heard this. This one, US Food and Drug Administration, FDA.gov. FDA approves first oral blood thinning medication for children. Today, the US Food and Drug Administration approved Pradaxa, oral pellets, to treat children 3 months to less than 12 years old with venous thromboembolism. Is that right, folks? A condition where blood clots form in the veins directly after they have been treated with a blood thinner given by injection for at least 5 days. The FDA has also approved Pradaxa oral pellets to prevent recurrent clots among patients 3 months to less than 12 years old who completed treatment for their first session of this blood clots. It's also approved in capsule form to treat blood clots in patients 8 years older and directly after being treated with the blood thinner given by injection for at least 5 days. Can you believe I'm reading this? That they're developing medication for blood thinning and blood clotting of little children. Anyway, don't worry, because the FDA is committed to helping children, especially young children, by poisoning them through the COVID jabs. And then when they get blood clots, we've got these other medications for you to take. Talk about creating customers for life, if they live that long. They're basically saying that blood clots are very serious here and all these kids are going to get them now. I don't know if you saw that one. It's only a short one. But anyway, the FDA approves first oral blood thinning medication for children. Children. Because children who are like just born or 2 or 8 years old, they get blood clots, right? And I put this one up today. Cauldron Pool. What agenda? World Economic Forum deletes tweet claiming lockdowns are quietly improving cities around the world. This was going back on the back of the lockdown one. The World Economic Forum has deleted a tweet claiming lockdowns are quietly achieving the climate change agenda by reducing air pollution and carbon emissions around the world. The globalist champion of the Great Reset said the lockdown response to the pandemic is improving climate change targets with fewer people using transport and the closure of factories. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, in that tweet, they said that the lockdowns are quietly improving cities around the world, included a video showing images of deserted city streets, grounded airlines and abandoned businesses. There were record falls in air pollution, clearing city skies from Asia to America, video caption reads. But by late 2020, it had returned to pre-pandemic levels. Carbon emissions were also down 7% last year, but the drop won't stop climate change unless we lock in emission cuts. The video sparked backlash online, which many accusing the WEF of reveling in human misery and exploiting the pandemic for anti-human goals. On Saturday, this is going back anyway, the WEF deleted the tweet claiming lockdowns aren't in fact improving cities, but instead are an important response to COVID-19. That was one a lot of people would have missed. Sick people, huh? And on the back of that article from the same publication which I posted today, and going along with what I was saying before, is climate lockdowns are now following on from COVID lockdowns. here is a truth you must never forget. The same power-hungry control freaks who wanted to lock down the whole world to keep us all safe from a fake virus, also wanting to lock down the whole world to keep us safe from climate change. And they have told us this. A conspiracy theory is when we just make things up. A conspiracy truth is when the folks involved tell us openly and plainly exactly what they're going to do. The Great Reset mob have made it perfectly clear about what they have in mind with climate lockdowns. Now that their COVID lockdowns were so easily and quickly implemented and accepted by the masses, and that's true. We all know how Klaus Schwab and his buddies in the WEF have used COVID as part of their move to globalization, tyranny, and the end of the free West. Now they are fully running with climate fear, mongering to get more of the same. A simple look at their website is all you need to see where they are going. Consider one recent article titled From Davos 2022 to Davos 2023, the six themes then that have set the agenda now. Theme 2, three interconnected crises, climate, food, energy. The crisis climate, the climate crisis has long been a key component of the Davos agenda, but with rising emissions and rising energy prices and rising food prices, explicitly inextricably linked and exacerbated by the geopolitical crisis in Ukraine. Climate conversations took a graver tone at Davos 2022 as world leaders discussed the need for immediate action. Countries must drastically scale up efforts. It isn't just about words anymore. It is about action. Said Xi Zhenhu from China. Climate, food, energy. Don't we already see that being dealt with by our elites? Whether it is Bill Gates buying up huge amounts of farmland in America, Holland confiscating 3,000 farms to meet the climate dictates of the EU, or energy crisis throughout Europe caused by alarmist climate action policies, we know where all this is going. Oh, and note how China is called upon as a leader in all of this for a great amount of critical data and detail on why we do not want to follow China on all this. Please get a hold of Michael Senger's Vital 2021 volume. How Xi Jinping shut down the world. But there is never a shortage of fools and or power-hungry tyrants who are fully ready to get in on the action. For example, you would have seen how political activists in the UK are moving full steam ahead with this. Oxford, England will be enforcing six, of course. Traffic filter locations, restricting car travel in 24 as part of an effort to help tackle climate change. During a trial run of at least 6 months, of course, only buses, taxis, cyclists, pedestrians and workers with special exemptions, remember I was talking about this the other night, exemptions, will be able to pass through the filter access points at all times without being fined. The Oxfordshire County Council and Oxford City Council explained. Residents of Oxford and some surrounding villages can apply for a permit to drive through the filters for up to 100 days a year, and residents of Oxfordshire County may apply for a permit to pass through the filters up to 25 days a year. I was talking about this, the you know, the 20-minute cities, the 20-minute zones Daniel Andrews is doing, what we're seeing now, how if you want to go out of these areas or travel outside of these filters, as they call them here, you have to pay and get special passes, and it will be up to a certain amount of times a year. What did I say on the last podcast? Well, they're doing that. And I didn't even read this before. I was just looking at stuff and thinking about what they're going to do. So, you know, most people live out their entire lives in their zones, neither 20 minutes here or there. But if you want to go out through those filters, you have to get special permission and special permits and pay it. It'll come out of your tokens. And there's only an allocated amount each year, what gets allocated to you. Apparently not enough people are catching buses or riding bikes, but instead of making that more appealing, the totalitarians will force it through tracking and fines. Oxfordshire has just approved on November 29th the traffic filters trial, which will turn the city into a 15-minute city. The trial will start in January 24. That's what Daniel Andrews doing. He's doing a 20-minute zone. It's a crowded area, Oxfordshire, and no one likes traffic congestion, but in a free world, the problem is self-limiting as drivers get fed up with delays and parking costs, and they carpool or choose to catch the bus or ride a bike. But in a big nanny state run by Big Brother, the local rulers start making rules about who can and can't visit and how often, and they want your car registered on their own special list with cameras to track you and fines to punish you. They offer exemptions, of course, but then you have to apply for them and get permission and grovel. Everybody's going to have to suck Klaus Schwab's donger. That's what it's all going to be about. And the WEF, of course, has plenty of articles telling us what a great idea this is. Of course, and the media as well. A brief quote from one of them: as climate change and global conflict cause shocks and stresses at faster intervals and increasing severity, the 15-minute city will become even more critical. Oh, and if you think this is moon battery from far, far away, please reconsider. Here in Melbourne, the powers that be are looking into exactly that same thing. Plan Melbourne is guided by the principle of 20-minute neighbourhoods. The 20-minute neighbourhood is all about living locally, giving people the ability to meet most of their daily needs within a 20-minute time frame. Walk from home, for example, with safe cycling and local transport options. The current municipal strategic planning project is a joint DELWP, which is a DELWP and local government project to create better planning for neighbourhoods, activity centres to deliver 20-minute neighbourhoods. Banyul, Derebin, Maroondah, Moonee Valley and Whittlesea City Councils are testing draft guidance to support activity centre network planning based on their local needs and priorities. The outcomes of the project will inform future guidance developed to ensure it is robust and fit for purpose. So Melbourne, one of the most lockdown cities on planet Earth, just can't get enough of this stuff. And they can't get enough of Daniel Andrews as well. So we can look forward to more lockdowns, this time to save the planet. Yeah, right, can't wait for that. How about first looking carefully at our COVID lockdowns and determining if they actually did any good or if they caused more harm? Instead, I have featured numerous experts on this site over the past 3 years documenting the massive harms of lockdowns. Yet they want to continue doing it. Really interesting, isn't it? And this is what I was saying the other night on the podcast as well. You know, the exact same thing, you know. It is really, really incredible. And you look at, you know, you look at the lockdowns in themselves and what they were able to achieve, or be, you know, I mean, pretty much everybody did it. I was out today, early this morning. There's still people wearing masks. They're still in these masks. And people say, well, they can't do that again. They can't lock down again, but they already did it. They already did it, and people need to understand what they did was just a test. These next climate lockdowns are going to be different, and this is what I was trying to explain to people. Those lockdowns were like a drill. They were a test to see if they could do it, and all the data and the numbers were crunched. It was one massive test, and the system and Klaus Schwab won. That's just a fact. And see, with all of this, what I'm reading tonight, all of this stuff, these 20-minute cities and everything, people are going to be slowly boiled into this. They're slowly going to be cooked into this. It's going to be incrementally drip-fed to them. They're not even going to know that it's going to be happening. So people are thinking they're going to just lock us inside because of the sun's too hot today. That's not going to happen. This is where they slowly merge us into this new dystopian, nightmarish kind of situation, but they put a happy face on it. This is where we slowly get merged into this, and we won't, most people will not even know it's happening. you know, within whatever time frame it's going to be, people will be living in these 20-minute zones, and they'll be getting special privileges or special, passes to travel through the filters outside of those zones. It's all in the movies, and the science fiction movies have been showing us this for years. The cities won't just be a city anymore. They'll be full of all these different zones and filters, as they're saying. And they're already doing it. And if people will be given a great life in these areas, see? People will be given a great life in these zones where everything they need will be on tap. Yeah, and they're going to take away everything that you own as well. That's what they've told us, you know, and you're going to be happy. You're going to be very happy living in that. They might even offer up some kind of universal income. You can just be at home, you touch a couple of keys on your keyboard or whatever, and you watch your big screen TV, and you've got all the fancy tech at the touch of one touch, it's all there for you, you know. In this complete nightmarish nanny state, but people are going to be brainwashed and manipulated and trained into thinking that this is normal. And as I said, look at what they achieved with COVID-19 lockdowns and everything that they've done. They got most of the planet jabbed. They locked most of the planet down. Most people lost everything in their businesses. And people did it over and over and over again without any problems. There was only a few million here or there that protested. You know, if you look at Melbourne, you had a million people maybe not happy about it, but you had 5 or 6 million people who were happy, you know, who don't mind this. I've never seen people happier. People work from home now. They got more time on their hands. They're quite happy with this. So, you know, for this whole thing has worked out quite well for them, for most people. You know, I see them sitting around on their asses all day having coffees and blabbing away about shit. They've had their jabs. They're going to Bali. They're having their holidays. They're working from home. They've got more time with their kids and family. They've got their nice things. They're buying nice things now. I've never seen people more happy, to be honest. And so what makes me think that they won't like this? You know, these 20-minute zones where everything is given to them on a platter. And they don't even have to think for themselves anymore. Big Brother does the thinking for them. The state does the thinking for them. But these people, everything's pre-cooked. They love it. They love it. See, people don't like thinking for themselves. People like to be under control. And COVID proved that. The government won. Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, they won. Hands down won. There's only a few of us left who didn't want it and didn't get the jabs. They're not worried about us because we're going to get locked out of the system. Most stupid, dumb, sheep, zombie, fucking idiot retards can't get enough of this New World Order system, and they're going to be lining up for it. They can't get enough. They fucking love it. They love it. And so I've given up. I've given up. They will love this system. For us, we have to navigate. We have to navigate. But I think for people who are thinking the climate lockdowns are going to be like the COVID lockdowns, I don't think so. I don't think so. They don't need to do that anymore. I think that's done. That was the test. That was the harsh test. Can we lock this scum down? Can we force them to go inside and lock them down based on some fake fantasy virus, right? And get them to stay inside. Well, yes, we can. They did it, and they won, and they proved it a million times over. Every time they brought in the lockdowns, people went and did it without any kind of problem whatsoever. And as I said, there were protesters, and there were a lot of us who were upset about this and fighting back, but you look at it, and it is such a tiny speck compared to the total population who are fucking brain dead. And they're going to do it again. So I don't think they're going to lock people down again like that. I think that is all over. I think, as I said, they're going to cook people into this. This is the new future. They're going to slowly, it's going to come from every angle, from every side. You know, like I was talking about on previous podcasts with being in a lift where the spikes come out of the walls and the ceiling and the floors. You know, it's kind of like that. People are being maneuvered, slowly engineered, drip fed into this corner, and they don't even know. And they're gonna end up living in this little box with a pretty bow on it, and it's gonna be this make believe little fantasy world where everything's cooked up for them on a platter by Big Daddy Government, and they're gonna have everything they need. That's what they'll believe, and they're gonna live in their little stack and pack. Micro bullshit world in their little 20-minute cities, and those little Tom, Dick, and Harrys are going to be on a little complex because they're going to believe that they are helping to save the planet, and not only that, the good, it just how good they are. And who they dob in, and if they take their jabs, and they eat Bill Gates's worms on the menu. And they play goody little two shoes, and they do everything that they're told. They're going to get all these payouts and all this stuff. You know, you know what I mean? It's like a teacher. You know, giving little Jimmy a pat on the head. You're such a good little boy. They're going to get praise from the system and lots of little credits and things and little bits and pieces for them. So it's going to create this little Dobbin goody-two-shoe culture. You know? And they will love it. I'm telling you, they will absolutely love it. Well, we really get shit on. Look at this from the Tribune. Impoverished Canadians seek euthanasia as a solution while Trudeau vacations in Jamaica. Poverty-stricken Canadians are going to food banks not just for help in feeding themselves and their families, but also to ask about government-assisted suicide, who Trudeau came up with, and now he wants you to all kill yourselves if you haven't been killed by the jabs, as a potential solution to their struggles. Canada's cost of living is growing every single day. So is America and Australia and everywhere, with inflation ongoing and spiking interest rates crushing lower and middle class workers and white families. With increased debt burdens, the average monthly food cost for a family of four in Ottawa is around $1,000, and the average monthly rent is $2,000. Canada's euthanasia laws are becoming alluring to those people who cannot afford rising expenses and see no other way out of this miserable life. The nation's revised medical assistance in dying MAID came into force on March 17th, 2021. The new law includes changes to eligibility, procedural safeguards, and the framework for federal government's data collection and reporting regime. So on March 17th, 2021, Parliament passed legislation that makes important changes to who may be eligible to obtain medical assistance in dying and process of assessment. These changes took effect immediately. Under the current laws, a patient must have a grievous or irremediable medical condition in order to receive assisted suicide, but apparently many Canadians believe they should have access even when they are healthy. And as I said, Justin loves this. Justin Trudeau was confronted by Global News with a video interview of a food bank CEO relating her story of multiple recipients asking about government-supported suicide. So this is people lining up to get hot soup and have lost everything and can't feed themselves and they're wanting to kill themselves. And don't worry, Justin's on holiday getting his dick sucked in Jamaica, probably by a man. And his response is politically typical, with a show of general concern and assertions that his resolve is deepened to step up and help impoverished families, all that he has created. Anyway, Justin is scheduled to enjoy a great family vacation in Jamaica. In 2019, Trudeau's vacation to Costa Rica leached Canadian taxpayers of nearly $200,000 in just flight costs alone. And this does not include the added costs of extended protection in a foreign province by Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That's a lot of money that could go to helping hundreds of families in need. But how much did Justin's massages cost, and pulling his dick cost, and his lavish dinners and champagne and wine cost, and all of that. How much did the hotels cost, and all the little trips they did cost, and just ferrying them around and everything like that? Millions, millions. It should be noted that it was Trudeau's oppressive and long-running pandemic restrictions that directly triggered this decline in the economic conditions in Canada, so he's responsible for it, including supply chain disruptions to the food. So it's his fault. He caused all of this, and now it's a disaster, and you can see him. He's trying not to laugh as people are asking him about people, Canadians, lining up to get soup and wanting to kill themselves while he takes a trip to Jamaica with his family and spends hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' dollars while people want to kill themselves. And you can see he's trying not to laugh. And what do most people do out there? They support this. They support it, not us. But most people support it. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. And I think it really is beyond the point. I think most people I know in this country will gladly line up in concentration camps to get their heads blown off with shotguns, and they'll be happy to do so. And I'm sure they will want Justin to have a great holiday in Jamaica as well, just before they get their heads blown off. I'm positive they will really like that. That's really unbelievable. It just shows you how sick things are, with what's happening in Canada, and what this demon, he's a homosexual too, what this homosexual demon has done to a magnificent country with more than what they could ever need. This magnificent, beautiful country, what this demon, this entity, this homosexual, this poof demon, what he's done is just unbelievable. And here he is taking lavish holidays in Jamaica, using the people's money while people are lining up to get soup and want to kill themselves. This is how bad it is now. I'll be back again on the next one. Take care, folks.